Smith. I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it's been my honor during the month of March to read the scripture before each service. Today's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. You can find this on the Pew Bible on page 909, or you can follow along. The words are on the screen behind me. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
August 23rd, 2011, was a Tuesday. I'd come back from lunch and was sitting at the desk of my office working on the computer when suddenly my office chair began to move. Now, the chair is designed to move. It does have wheels on the bottom. But the chair is supposed to move only when I move the chair by pushing it with my feet. The problem was I wasn't pushing. The chair started moving on its own with me in it. It was a very weird feeling. I jumped up, ran out into the foyer. I was met by our church secretary at the time, Gloria Newton, whose chair had also been moving in her office. We wondered what was going on. We went outside on the church lawn, looked up at the building, and it kind of looked like the steeple was swaying a little bit. I looked across to St. Edward's Church. I saw some men, looked like construction workers, standing out in the parking lot. And I wondered, maybe they had caused our chairs to move. Maybe they were doing some excavation and it was shaking the ground. We really didn't know what was going on. It was just a guess. Well, eventually Gloria and I came back inside, went back into our offices, got back on the computer. And it did not take long to find out that there had been an earthquake. An earthquake. I didn't know we had earthquakes around here. I tried to call my wife at the Anne Arundel Medical Center where she was working that day, and the call wouldn't get through. Apparently, a lot of people were trying to call, and the networks were jammed. After a while, Linda sent me a text message saying she was okay, asking if we were all right. I walked around the building to see if I could detect any damage. Everything appeared to be fine. Still, I wondered if something had happened that could not be seen. Well, the earthquake was all over the news that evening and the next few days. Some buildings had been damaged, but thank God no one was killed or seriously injured. The Washington Monument had a crack in the top of it and smaller cracks going down the side to the base. The Washington National Cathedral had suffered damage in some of its spires and buttresses. Masonic structures don't do well in earthquakes. Because they aren't flexible, they can't give when the earth moves. There was damage to some buildings at the Naval Academy in Annapolis. The Smithsonian Castle was damaged. The tops of four spires on the Masonic Temple in Kensington fell to the ground, as well as some marble from the facade. Two apartment buildings in Temple Hills had to be evacuated. Well, the 5.8 magnitude earthquake started in Louisa County, Virginia, and it was felt in a total of 25 states and even some Canadian provinces. Now, almost 5 years later, some buildings damaged by the earthquake are still not completely repaired. It took almost 3 years and $15 million to repair the Washington Monument, which finally reopened in May of 2014. And repairs are ongoing at the National Cathedral, with a projected total cost of at least $20 million. As I said, it didn't take long for news of the earthquake to get around. Shortly after it happened, I read about it on the web. And according to Facebook, within 4 minutes when it hit, the word earthquake appeared in the status updates of some 3 million users. Twitter says that users were sending out messages at the rate of about 5,500 tweets per second. That's more than was sent after the death of Osama bin Laden. An article about the earthquake appeared in the English version of Wikipedia just 12 minutes after it hit, and the quake was mentioned in two other articles even earlier than that. Some animals at the National Zoo were spooked by the earthquake, including some who seemed to have anticipated it before it struck. In the great ape exhibit, some of the animals abandoned their food and climbed up into a tree right before the earth started shaking. And a flock of flamingos rushed around and grouped together before it struck. During the quake, many animals vocalized and dove for cover. And my guess is many people vocalized and dove for cover. In fact, the sidewalks and the parks of the district were filled with workers and tourists who poured out of the buildings once they started shaking. An earthquake reminds all of us that we ultimately are not in control. It was a Sunday, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Jesus had died on Friday, been buried before sundown. And since Saturday was the Sabbath, Sunday was the first chance they had to come to the place where Jesus had been buried. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone that had sealed the entrance to the tomb. Now, to understand the scene, we need to recognize that most tombs back then were above ground. They typically were like burial caves. They were dug into the rock, often man-made, and sealed with a large stone. The stone could be rolled back at a later date after the flesh of the body had decayed. It sounds odd to us, but the family would actually go and retrieve the bones after the flesh had decayed, put the bones in an ossuary, a special box, and then the tomb could be reused again for another burial. Somewhat akin to our mausoleums or the crypts that we have in cemeteries, except that we don't remove the bones after the flesh has decayed. On several occasions, I have conducted a graveside burial, committal service, at a mausoleum in a cemetery. And rather than removing a large stone, the cemetery workers will remove the metal panel or the stone panel that's sealing the crypt. That's so that the casket can be installed into the crypt and laid to rest there. On one occasion, I remember that the panel had been removed, and before the committal service, I was looking around. I happened to look inside the crypt, and I saw the casket of a family member that I had helped to bury previously. And rather than being freaked out by that, I found that somewhat reassuring to see that the casket was still there. Well, imagine the women's shock when they came to the tomb and looked in and saw that the body of Jesus was not there. The earthquake and the appearance of the angel were a shock to the soldiers, too. They'd been guarding the tomb, but they fainted and fell to the ground like dead men.
But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised. Come, see the place where he lay." The stone sealing the entrance to the tomb was moved aside, not so that Jesus could come out, but so the women could go in and see what the angel had said was true. They could see for themselves that Jesus was not there. Well, Matthew knew that this was a shocking story. It was shocking to the women who came to the tomb at daybreak on Sunday morning, found it empty. It was shocking to the guard who'd been watching the tomb to make sure nothing happened, who felt the earthquake and saw the angel and fell to the ground like dead men. And to be honest, this story is shocking to us today who read it, because we have never seen anyone rise from the dead. As far as we know, death is final. The grave is the end. Dead people do not come back to life. The resurrection of Jesus is so far outside our experience and understanding that it is still shocking to us. Just like that earthquake on August 23rd, 2011 was so far outside our experience and understanding that we didn't understand what was going on at first. Well, the earthquake on Sunday morning at the tomb was not the only earthquake in the story. There was also an earthquake on Friday afternoon at the cross, at the very moment that Jesus died. Matthew wrote in chapter 27, verses 50 to 53. Let me read it. "Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many." Whoa. So Jesus was not the only one who was raised from the dead. The saints, those people who had died before Jesus, many of them are mentioned in the Old Testament, were also raised. Now this boggles our minds. I mean, it's so far beyond the realm of our understanding and experience that we hardly know what to make of it. But ironically, the centurion who had been keeping watch over Jesus as he died, the centurion understood. Matthew 27:54 says, "Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, 'Truly, this man was God's son.'" So here we are on Easter Sunday, some 2,000 years later, and we have reached the same conclusion. Truly, this man was God's son. Yeah. Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, but he did not stay dead. That conviction is the very heart of our faith. As Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain and your faith is in vain." But Paul said, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died." And so the resurrection of Jesus means not only was Jesus raised from the dead, it also means that those who place their faith in Jesus will be raised to new life with God. Well, that earthquake on August 23rd, 2011 was felt by more people than any other earthquake in U.S. history. And some people wonder what caused it. Some websites began to suggest that maybe it was due to hydraulic fracturing or fracking for natural gas production. Now, fracking has been linked to a dramatic increase in earthquakes in Oklahoma, for example. In 2007, Oklahoma had one earthquake. 2007, one earthquake the whole year. Last year, Oklahoma had over 900 earthquakes. The state currently has more earthquakes of a magnitude of 3 or higher than California. Of the 12 largest earthquakes in Oklahoma history, 10 have happened in the last 5 years. That also corresponds to fracking activity in Oklahoma. Now, the outcry against fracking has been muted in the Sooner State because about 20% of the jobs in Oklahoma are related to the oil and gas industry. And yet, no other place on earth has ever experienced such an increase in the rate of earthquakes in such a short time. Most scientists who study earthquakes now agree that the increased seismic activity is a byproduct of fracking. By pumping vast quantities of wastewater back deep beneath the Earth's surface, the friction that normally keeps the plates clamped together is reduced. And the lubrication provided by that vast wastewater allows the plates to slip, causing earthquakes. Well, that's what's going on in Oklahoma. What happened in Virginia on August 23rd, 2011? There was no fracking in Virginia. The earthquake that we felt almost 5 years ago was simply an act of God. Well, the act of God that raised Jesus from the dead has touched more people than any other event in history. And you know, the most important part of the story is not the earthquake or the angel or the guards fainting like dead men. The most important part of the story is the risen Jesus appearing to the women who left the tomb with great fear and great joy. On their way to tell the disciples, the risen Jesus appeared to them face to face. And he told them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." You notice that theme in this whole story? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's a lot to be afraid of in life. But the word of the resurrection is, don't be afraid. Now I wonder, why did Jesus say, "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me"? Why go to Galilee? Well, that was their home. Most of the disciples and Jesus came from Galilee. And Jesus would meet them when they went back home. "He is going ahead of you," the angel said. Jesus would meet them right where they lived. He would be present to them in the everyday, ordinary moments of their lives. He would be with them always. And that's the promise of Easter for us. Not only was Jesus raised from the dead, not only does this resurrection mean that all who believe in him will be raised after we die to new life with God, but Jesus is going ahead of us, and he will be with us where we live in the everyday moments of our lives. Jesus is with us now and always. The psalmist wrote, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea." Yes, the earth will change. And yes, even the mountains will shake, but the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, will endure forever. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shaking sand. Our Father, we're here today because Jesus was raised from the dead. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, there'd be no church, there'd be no Christian faith, there'd be no hope. But we live on the Sunday side of the cross. And on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We celebrate the new life that he offers to all who place their faith in him. We celebrate the eternal life that is ours, even after we die. And yes, we celebrate his presence among us even now. Don't be afraid, he said. He is with us now and always. And for that we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For that we say amen.
Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus is not just a day, but it is for eternity. It is the faith that sustains us now and tomorrow and forever. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, receive that gift of salvation. Receive the hope that is ours through our faith in Him. If you've not followed Him as a believer in baptism, we would offer you that opportunity today to make that commitment of your life to Christ. Or maybe you've been baptized, you've committed yourself to Christ, but you're not a part of this church. You want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 207, Lo in the Grave He Lay.